Hello and welcome to another Thought for the Day from New Milton Evangelical Free Church. Let's come to God in prayer as we come to his word. Our gracious God, we thank you again that we can come to your word this morning and we can read it and by your spirit interpreting and applying it to us, we can understand what you want to say to us. And we pray, Lord, that this might not just be theoretical or historical or in any way irrelevant to us. Apply it to our very hearts and to our minds so that we can praise the Lord who made us and bring glory to the risen Christ who is our shepherd. In his name we pray. Amen. So we're reading Genesis chapter 21 and we're reading verses 1 to 20. Sorry, 1 to 21. Now the Lord was gracious to Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah what he had promised. Sarah became pregnant and bore a son to Abraham in his old age, at the very time God had promised him. Abraham gave the name Isaac to the son Sarah bore him. When his son Isaac was 8 days old, Abraham circumcised him as God commanded him. Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. Sarah said, "God has brought me laughter, and everyone who hears about this will laugh with me." And she added, "Who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children? Yet I have borne him a son in his old age." The child grew and was weaned, and on the day Isaac was weaned, Abraham held a great feast. But Sarah saw that the son whom Hagar the Egyptian had borne to Abraham was mocking. And she said to Abraham, "Get rid of that slave woman and her son, for that woman's son will never share in the inheritance with my son Isaac." The matter distressed Abraham greatly because it concerned his son. But God said to him, "Do not be so distressed about the boy and your slave woman. Listen to whatever Sarah tells you, because it is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned. I will make the son of the slave into a nation also, because he is your offspring." Early the next morning, Abraham took some food and a skin of water and gave them to Hagar. He set them on her shoulders and then sent her off with the boy. She went on her way and wandered in the desert of Beersheba. When the water in the skin was gone, she put the boy under one of the bushes. Then she went off and sat down about a bow shot away, for she thought, "I cannot watch the boy die." And as she sat there, she began to sob. God heard the boy crying, and the angel of God called to Hagar from heaven and said to her, "What is the matter, Hagar? Do not be afraid. God has heard the boy crying as he lies there. Lift the boy up and take him by the hand, for I will make him into a great nation." Then God opened her eyes and she saw a well of water. So she went and filled the skin with water and gave the boy a drink. God was with the boy as he grew up. He lived in the desert and became an archer. While he was living in the desert of Paran, his mother got a wife for him from Egypt. So the first few verses of our passage today are huge. There's no making them any smaller than they are. What God had promised, we read, to Abraham and Sarah came about. 100-year-old man and his 99-year-old barren wife had a baby. Well, that's amazing, isn't it? And here was the father of the nation of Israel giving almost completely, as if it were a natural thing, birth to a son through whom God would bring his promises to fulfillment. But let our focus be on Hagar today, because our title is about God hearing. And God is concerned about Hagar as well. Why? Well, because Ishmael too is the son of Abraham. And God fulfills his promises to the last letter. So even though Ishmael is not the one through whom God is going to bring about the promise of the Messiah, the chief, the most important promise of the seed of Abraham, nevertheless, God would actually fulfill his promise to Abraham in taking care of Ishmael too. Just notice in this text the way that the emphasis has changed. Notice that Ishmael is never named in this passage. Isaac is the focus now, but the passage is concerned to tell us what happens to Ishmael. He too becomes the father of a nation. And indeed, we see here the birth of all of the hostility down through the ages between the Palestinians and the Jews. It starts here. So this historic record cascades down through the ages and comes to have its fruition in the times in which we live. This is not just something that has nothing to do with our world. This is a part of our past, and we can see its outcome even today. So what of Hagar? Well, Hagar has already had an altercation with Sarah. If you remember in Genesis 16, she is abused, mistreated by her mistress after she begins to mock when she realizes that she is pregnant and Sarah is barren. And she runs away. And God finds her in the wilderness and says to her, go back, serve your mistress, because you are pregnant and you are to give birth to Abraham's son. And in turn, she gives a name to God. She calls him the God who sees me. Remind yourself of it. Read that chapter. But now she's got another name for God. He is the God who hears her, or rather who hears her son. Because in these dire straits in the middle of the desert, where the food and the water have run out, and she can't stand to see her 18-year-old, perhaps a little younger than that, son, die in front of her eyes. So she lays him under a bush in the shade as much as there is and goes off away to actually die herself. God rescues her. God hears the boy crying. And God brings his promise to Hagar because of Abraham. Now, what's that got to do with us? Well, Abraham prefigures Christ. Abraham was the father of the old nation of Israel. Jesus is, in essence, the father of the new nation of Israel. You and I, who are believers in Christ, he it is through whom Christ, through whom God has numbered his descendants who are spiritually born again and given new hearts, made to be new creatures in his son Jesus Christ. And God fulfills his promises. So just notice this for today and take this truth with you. There is not one promise of God to his chosen servant, to Abraham, that will fall to the ground, even if it means blessing the son of the slave. And equally, there is not one promise of God given to his son Jesus which will fall to the ground in his eyes. And therefore, everything that finds its yes and its amen in your Saviour is certainty. So when you read God's word and you hear him speaking these wonderful promises to you, promises about him holding you in the palm of his hand, promises about Jesus your Lord being your shepherd and never leaving you or forsaking you, promises about being able to leave all of your concerns and your anxieties at his feet because he cares for you, all of those things God will never renege on. He will never deny them. They will always be true. So he is the God who sees you, my friend, my brother, my sister, this morning. He is the God who knows intimately every avenue, every concern of your life, every thought in your mind, every sense in your heart. He sees your tears and he sees your laughter, and he loves you and he will fulfill his promises for you. He is the God who sees you. He is the God who hears you. Let's pray. Our gracious Lord, we thank you that you love us as a father. We thank you that you have given your Son for us, and with him there is nothing you will hold back from us. And we thank you for every promise that is ours in him, and that therefore, because of him, we have your certainty in our hearts. So thrill us with that today and help us to walk in your glorious light. In his name we pray. Amen.